This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Wix.com lets you easily create a beautiful professional website for free. With hundreds of stunning templates and an intuitive drag-and-drop website builder, you can get your business online today. No coding needed. Start now at Wix.com. That's Wix.com.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Wisconsin's Walker walks. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It's Tuesday, September 22nd. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The latest Republican to exit the presidential primary race is Governor Scott Walker. Here are the key factors that led to his downfall.
The former head of a peanut company gets what amounts to life behind bars for knowingly shipping food contaminated with salmonella that killed 9 people.
Pope Francis arrives in Washington late this afternoon. Find out what's involved in the largest security operation in U.S. history.
And breaking down the policy proposals from presidential candidate Donald Trump.
Aside from his plan on immigration, has actually honed in on a couple of serious policy issues, some foreign policy stuff, particularly outsourcing, a few other issues. But when we looked at the details of those plans, delved into what he would do, we found that it's not as easy as he makes it sound.
Wall Street Journal reporter Byron Tao says critics of Mr. Trump's proposals are raising logistical concerns. His report is later in the hour. The latest casualty in the Republican presidential primary race is Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, who yesterday threw in the towel because he no longer saw a path to victory.
Sadly, the debate taking place in the Republican Party today is not focused on that optimistic view of America. Instead, it has drifted into personal attacks.
In his announcement, Mr. Walker took aim at businessman Donald Trump, a newcomer who's overshadowed the more experienced candidates. Mr. Walker urged other Republicans to drop out so the party could concentrate its resources on denying Mr. Trump the nomination.
In the end, I believe that the voters want to be for something and not against someone.
There were plenty of factors in Mr. Walker's downfall. The Wall Street Journal says he gave a series of unsteady answers on the question of whether he supported a pathway to legal status for immigrants in the country illegally. He also inserted himself awkwardly into the policy debate over China, refused to take a position on evolution, and compared his efforts to fight unions to battling Islamic State terrorists. But his biggest problem appeared to be fundraising. Enough top donors expressed concerns about his recent stumbles. The former owner of a peanut company in Georgia has been sentenced to 28 years in prison for his role in a salmonella outbreak that killed 9 people and sickened hundreds. 61-year-old Stuart Parnell, once the head of Peanut Corporation of America, was convicted on federal conspiracy charges 1 year ago for knowingly shipping salmonella-tainted peanuts to customers. Contamination at the company's plant in Blakely, Georgia, led to one of the largest food recalls in U.S. history and forced the company into liquidation. Ginger Lawrence was among family members of victims who spoke.
We are all glad that the message has been sent out so that we can avoid this kind of situation in the future. I take no joy in seeing those people go to jail. I only see the sorrow in the families that they leave behind.
Mr. Parnell's brother, Michael, who was a food broker on the company's behalf, got 20 years. During the trial, prosecutors said the brothers covered up the presence of salmonella in their company's peanut products for years, even creating fake certificates showing they were uncontaminated, despite lab reports that showed they were. Changing gears now, federal authorities are mobilizing one of the largest security operations in U.S. history ahead of the arrival of Pope Francis later today. David Nakamura at the Washington Post says it's an effort that is straining law enforcement resources in 3 big cities. He joins us now on the T-Mobile hotline. David, take us through it.
Well, it's an enormous operation that involves, of course, 3 cities, Washington, D.C., New York, and Philadelphia, where they expect the biggest crowds, up to 1.5 billion in Philadelphia for the open-air mass. And I think what you've seen now is the Homeland Security Director is trying to get out in front of this and has declared each of these a national special security event. And that's a rare designation, but it tries to marshal all the federal resources possible. The Secret Service oversees it all, but the FBI, the Pentagon, FEMA, and a number of other agencies, including the Coast Guard, are all involved. They're looking at everything from rail and air, and of course vehicle traffic, to crowd control, to terrorist threats through U.S. intelligence agencies, and then just hundreds and thousands local police in each city will be on tap to sort of deal with all these large crowds. And, you know, even in areas where the Pope is just passing through the streets, of course, they're expected to be large crowds. So they're sort of marshaling all the resources they can. In the past, these designations have been used for events like the Olympics, inauguration, State of the Union addresses. So it's that big of a deal.
Wow. Anybody take a guess as to the number of bodies that might be involved in security?
That is something that I tried to get at, reported all last week. No one would sort of hazard a guess or, you know, at least reveal. In part, security officials always say they don't want to tip off, potential bad guys as to how much of a show of force they have behind the scenes, mm-hmm. because they don't want to give any information out. Although I think in reality, this effort is so sort of widespread that it's probably hard to put a number on it. You know, local police forces are not only taxed with their own manpower, but they've sort of imported other types of agents and law enforcement agencies to help.
We're speaking with Dave Nakamura, White House correspondent at The Washington Post. His piece is called Pope's Visit Will Produce Largest Security Operation in U.S. History. So for most of these police departments, I'd imagine, New York City, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., is it all hands on deck pretty much?
It really is. I think that's to be expected. People have already put out notices in Washington, D.C. for federal agencies to basically treat Tuesday through Thursday here in Washington when the Pope is here as sort of a snow day. Work from home if you can. I'm sure some federal employees are happy to do that. But that's the idea of how big a crowd that they expect. And, of course, sort of public transportation issues are going to be, you know, in play with people crowding onto trains and local subways to get into place to see the Pope. And, again, you know, there's people, you know, for example, the Pope's going to speak to Congress. He may sort of wave from the west front of the Capitol. You know, potentially tens of thousands, maybe more, are expected to gather on the Mall just to get a glimpse, and there may be a big screen or two. But, you know, even when in cases where folks are saying you're not going to get to see him that closely, they do expect, and they're preparing for very big crowds.
So I presume authorities work with some sort of Vatican security officials, too?
They do, actually. In my reporting, I found that the Secret Service director and two of his top aides who will serve as the lead protective agents for the Pope's visit, all three of them went to the Vatican this summer. They spent time meeting directly with the Pope so they could get familiar with him, but also they met with the Pope's own security. They were able to shadow the Pope's movements in the Vatican Square and his Pope Mobile and sort of get a sense of what that's like. I'm also told that behind the scenes, the Secret Service is doing training exercises for their own agents with a sort of a replica vehicle or maybe even some sort of actual vehicle that looks like this Pope Mobile, so they get a sense of it. And, you know, so they do a lot of training, of course, with a presidential limousine, but, you know, the way the Pope moves around sometimes is very different. And, you know, there was someone pointed to me that there was an incident in Rio a couple years ago where the Pope's vehicle got surrounded and sort of blocked inadvertently. I think that the service is trying to sort of avoid that kind of scene. Could get very dangerous with big crowds.
Thanks, David. David Nakamura at The Washington Post. It's 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You're results-driven and you're ambitious. You've established yourself professionally, and now you're looking for more. Take the next step in your entrepreneurial journey with Edible Arrangements, the brand that revolutionized gifting with handcrafted fruit arrangements and gourmet chocolate-covered fruit, now also offers delicious everyday treats like smoothies, fruit salads, and parfaits. As an Edible Arrangements franchisee, you get access to an established brand with 16 years of growth, over 80% brand recognition, and 1,200 locations worldwide. You'll benefit from know-how, support, and millions of visitors to the Edible Arrangements e-commerce platform. Discover why Entrepreneur Magazine named Edible Arrangements a top franchise and among their best of the best for 2015. Start your journey to sweet success as an Edible Arrangements franchise owner. Call 1-888-727-4258 or go to edible.com. That's 1-888-727-4258 or edible.com. Good Tuesday morning. The story of the county clerk in Kentucky who opposes her office issuing licenses to same-sex couples has a new twist today. Couples in her high-profile case are seeking a new court order to prevent her from altering marriage licenses, a move that has kept her out of jail while also raising questions over validity of the forms. Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis has been modifying wording on the licenses to remove any mention of her name or office. A license now states that it was issued pursuant to a federal court order rather than the county clerk, and a space normally signed by the deputy clerk is now initialed by a notary public.
What probably hurts me the worst is when someone tells me that my God does not love me.
She spoke with ABC News. Attorneys for the couples argued in a motion yesterday that the alterations create a two-tier system, treating LGBT couples as second-class citizens whose marriages are unworthy of official recognition. The motion says the modified forms also create, quote, considerable uncertainty over their legality. It's 20 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Put in the crowded field of competitors for the Republican presidential nomination has shrunk by one. Wisconsin's Governor Scott Walker has suspended his campaign and urged others to quit as well so someone can emerge to take down frontrunner Donald Trump.
I encourage other Republican presidential candidates to consider doing the same so that the voters can focus on a limited number of candidates who can offer a positive, conservative alternative to the current frontrunner.
Even before Walker dropped out, his Republican rivals were chasing after his remnants. Walker's national finance co-chairman says he fielded calls from five campaigns as Walker was holding his news conference. On his way to federal prison, perhaps for the rest of his life, former Peanut executive Stuart Parnell said he's sorry for the hundreds who became ill and nine people who died after eating his company's peanut butter. The former Peanut Corporation of America owner was sentenced to 28 years in prison yesterday. Parnell's attorney is Thomas Bondurant.
Didn't have the intent to hurt anyone. He didn't have evil intent. He was a lousy manager.
Parnell was convicted of knowingly shipping peanut butter tainted with salmonella and for faking results of lab tests intended to screen for contaminants. Hillary Clinton is laying out a plan to rein in the rising cost of prescription drugs. Her proposal aims to cap monthly and annual out-of-pocket costs for prescription drugs and would also require drug companies that receive taxpayer support to invest in research and development.
We're going to hold drug companies accountable as we work to drive down prices. Look, nobody in America should have to choose between paying for the medicine they need and paying their rent.
Clinton detailed her plan as part of a week-long push to defend the president's health care law. And while adult obesity rates remain steady, they're still high around the country. The CDC says Arkansas, West Virginia, and Mississippi have the highest adult obesity rates, while Hawaii, D.C., and Colorado have the lowest. Nationally, more than one-third of U.S. adults and 17% of children are obese.
Thanks. Those numbers continue to be scary.
Yes, they are.
For sure. Thank you, Jennifer. 22 minutes now after the hour on this morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Now appearing on store shelves, Christmas stuff. Market Watch reporter Katie Hill says the Christmas shopping season now starts during the blazing heat of summer, and consumers can blame themselves for that. Katie, what's going on here? Fall doesn't even begin until tomorrow, technically.
There was a survey out that said, you know, 7 in 10 Americans are super annoyed about when they see holiday items in stores before Halloween. There's just a lot of complaining about Christmas creep. But it turns out it's the consumer's own fault because 32 million consumers, that's one out of every seven, start their holiday shopping in September. So you can't really blame the stores for putting stuff out when 32 million people are already starting their holiday shopping in September.
7 in 10 Americans say they're annoyed or very annoyed about this.
Yes.
7 in 10 Americans are talking about both sides of their mouth.
Right. That's right.
Shopping.
A lot of people are talking about both sides of their mouth.
All right. So what's the strategy here from the retailer's perspective?
Walmart, if you remember a couple weeks ago, they started their holiday layaway program in August. And I asked them, do you think this is going to create, backlash? Because people, people complain a lot about Christmas creep. And they said, we know that not everyone goes shopping, but they said a big group of their consumers start their shopping in the summertime and that this is for them. And so I think the retailers know you'll buy it. You will. You'll just do it. And so they're putting it on, you know, they're putting the stuff on the shelves for Christmas because they know people are going to buy it.
Does it have to be on sale for people to buy it in August or September for Christmas?
No. What was interesting to me is that parents are a big culprit of this. They're about twice as likely to start their holiday shopping. It's not really necessarily for them about whether it's on sale or not. They just want to make sure they get it, because we all know every year there is some toy that your kid no doubt wanted, and you try to go get it, and it's sold out everywhere, and you know, it hurts your brain. You're like, oh, they're going to be so upset on Christmas morning. So parents start early, sale or no sale. But a lot of people are starting early because they say they want to spread out their spending throughout the month. So they don't want to just like jam up their credit card in November and December. They want to kind of spread that out. You know, it is funny. I'm one of those people that complains about Christmas creep, but now that I'm a parent, I wonder if I'll be starting early to get those gifts, you know?
We're speaking with MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill. She's got a piece entitled "Stop Whining About Christmas Creep. It's Your Fault It Exists." All right, so does this water things down for Black Friday, for example?
These retailers are just pushing sales all the time now. I mean, you know, there was Christmas in July sales we've seen for a long time. And I think, yeah, I think Black Friday doesn't have quite the punch that it used to, you know, because a lot, you can do Cyber Monday, you can go shopping online. I mean, they're just, it's been watered down, and I think we'll continue to see that. I just don't think it has quite the punch that it used to. Oh, and by the way, you know, stores open on Thanksgiving now too. So
yeah, right.
The Black Friday thing, people, you can actually just go shopping, right? You eat your turkey and go into a bunch of stores now too.
Has anybody shared what it is we're buying? Like, do we go for the big ticket items now to try to not have that hanging over us in mid-December?
No, but I think what's interesting is that parents are driving this. So you can imagine that it would probably be a lot of these toys that they think are going to be hard to get later. And so I think what you're seeing really is that it's probably items for kids who are probably quite popular starting now, so that they don't, you know, so that they're not, first of all, they're working, multitasking, they don't have time. They want to just go ahead and get some of the things done so they can check that off the to-do list. So I think it's probably kid-related stuff is big.
Thanks, Katie. MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill, who's based in New York. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You do whatever it takes to make sure your business runs efficiently, but constant trips to the post office can get in the way. With Stamps.com, you'll be able to spend less time at the post office and more time growing your business. Stamps.com makes mailing and shipping easy. Use your own computer and printer to buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package. Stamps.com does all the thinking for you. The digital scale will calculate the exact postage needed and help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. Join over 500,000 small businesses that use Stamps.com and never go to the post office again. Right now, use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer that includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com. Enter Deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday, September 22nd. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshinka. Some of our top stories and headlines on this technically final day of summer. Walker drops out of the Republican presidential race. Pope Francis arrives in the U.S. today. The same time, Brian Williams returns with a demotion and pay cut to MSNBC, which apparently is still on the air. Volkswagen this morning says 11 million diesel vehicles are affected by software at the center of an emissions scandal. iPhone deliveries could be delayed on Friday. And is the card game Bridge a sport? The argument in about 20 minutes. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump has focused on a handful of substantive issues since launching his campaign over the summer that he frequently highlights in his stump speech, beyond his signature plan to deport nearly 12 million illegal immigrants. But Wall Street Journal reporter Byron Tao says while Mr. Trump is identifying concerns, his prescriptions for addressing them sometimes ignore the roles of other branches of the government, the limits of presidential authority, and existing global commitments by the U.S. Byron, what have you found?
When we looked at the details of those plans, delved into what he would do, we found that it's not as easy as he makes it sound, believe it or not.
All right. So which plans did he put some specifics on here that you looked at?
Well, so he has a pretty comprehensive immigration proposal that's been debated, pretty thoroughly in the press, but we looked at a couple of other things, including his proposal to slap a tariff on importing car parts if Ford Motors moved a company to Mexico. Now, we have a free trade agreement with Mexico, for example, and it's not so simple. We'd have to blow up what was an international treaty. Mexico could take us to the WTO. The president would need Congress to sign off on this, and Congress is pretty pro-free trade at the moment. So, you know, Trump's plan here, it's not completely unrealistic, but it ignores the fact that we have this treaty, this free trade agreement, ignores the fact that there's another branch of government that needs to be involved here, and it ignores the fact that members of his own party would be seriously opposed to any move to put a protectionist tariff in place on a company for making a private business decision. And so that's the kind of thing we've looked at, and there were a few other things, some defense policy stuff. Trump said that our allies in Germany, Japan, and South Korea don't pay anything for us to defend them. That's not exactly true, and we do get some residual benefits from having troops there, and a couple other issues that we looked at for him. And generally, the pattern is that he says some very bombastic things. He goes out on these limbs, but when it comes down to it, it's not so easy to undo a lot of this.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal White House correspondent Byron Tao. His piece is entitled, Donald Trump Policy Plans Raise Concerns, Critics Argue. You know, there was one guy in your story who said something along the lines of, Mr. Trump has a nose for a grain of truth. But beyond that, sometimes it's a little dicey.
Right. So, you know, Trump is identifying some real issues. There is the issue of outsourcing of jobs. There is this issue of our defense commitments abroad and how much other countries pay for us to help defend them. There's this issue of Iran sanctions. That's another thing that he talked about, that's where it's not quite so simple. But when he comes in and says, oh, you know, our leaders are stupid, I can fix this, no problem, I have some killers, he, you know, he mentions Carl Icahn a lot, who's a big businessman, it's not that easy. And that there are these structures in our government and in politics that make it very difficult to do things. And certainly what he's proposing would be a heavy lift for any president, especially a political novice.
All right. Explain, too, the one line in your story. You say Mr. Trump wears his lack of policy specifics as a badge of honor.
Well, so that's what's so interesting about the case for his candidacy, is that he says that when you lay out policy proposals, when you get into the details of a plan from the beginning, which campaigns love to do, they love to put out white papers, they love to explain in detail what they would do as president. He says you give away a lot of the leverage you could use to make a good deal, that you throw your plan out, usually, when you're in a complex negotiation, and you know, that's the first thing that goes. And there is some logic to that Donald Trump is this businessman. He's obviously gotten quite wealthy and is successful in his own right, and he says that you know I don't want to get too detailed because that will give away my ability to negotiate. It will give away my ability to get a good deal for the American people, and that's, you know, he wears that as a badge of pride. He wears the lack of facts and detail around his policy proposals as one of the compelling reasons to vote for him.
Thanks, Byron. Wall Street Journal White House correspondent Byron Tao. 21 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
With Kuda Sign, paperless e-signing is a no-brainer for any business that requires legally binding signatures fast. That's because Kuda Sign offers everything you should expect from an electronic signature solution for just $1 per month. Kuda Sign cuts document turnaround time as much as 90%, thanks in part to its number one rated mobile app. And KudaSign's secure cloud stores documents for on-demand tracking and retrieval. Get KudaSign now for just $1 per month. Go to KudaSign.com. That's KudaSign.com.
Don't forget to check us out on social media, by the way. You can friend us on Facebook and also look us up on Twitter with the handle @ThisMorningShow. You can swap tweets directly with me @GordonDeal. I'm certainly running my mouth this morning about the Jets victory last night, to which I'm taking some grief, including grief from my colleague, the esteemed Mike Gavin, who you can find @RadioGavin1.
Yes.
On Twitter. Mike is here, by the way, beyond the headlines with
a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, despite some evidence to the contrary, sometimes it does pay to be honest. Domino's Pizza has offered a customer free pies for a year after he returned $1,300 in cash that was mistakenly delivered to his house along with his food. Mike Vegas of Berkeley, California, ordered pizza and wings from a Domino's eatery Friday, and he ate just one slice of pizza before putting the rest of his food in the fridge. Vegas said his phone started ringing a few hours later. The caller turned out to be his Domino's delivery driver, who had hidden money for a deposit in a wings box and delivered the wrong package to Vegas's home. Though Vegas didn't answer the call because he was at work at the time. Vegas wasn't sure what to do with the money at first, posing the question to his Facebook friends before finally returning the cash and accepting his reward.
Okay, so if you have to go to Facebook to solicit advice,
yes,
you know what the right thing is to do.
Well, probably just about everybody on Facebook would tell him to keep it, I would think.
What he was hoping for was unanimous 100% approval of keep the cash.
Right.
But he didn't get that.
He didn't get that. And he also says he's going to have to start working out more, too, now, because he's going to have his free pizza for a year. He's going to start hitting the gym.
Who, by the way, just eats like one slice and puts the rest of their food in the refrigerator?
Right. Especially those Domino's. Domino slices are small,
right,
too.
You know what I do when I order Chinese food? I get the wonton soup with the chicken chow mein, and I think, oh, I'll just have the soup now and the chicken. No.
No,
yeah,
that
eat it all at once.
Of course.
You don't put it back in the fridge. You eat it.
Of course. That's what Americans do, Gordon.
That's right.
And, Gordon, one of the under-the-radar subplots of Week 2 of the NFL season involved a missing mascot. The Minnesota Vikings beat the Detroit Lions on Sunday for their first win of the 2015 season without the services of Ragnar the Viking. According to the Associated Press, the mascot is holding out for more money. The team announced Monday that they have not been able to reach a new contract agreement with Joe Juranich, the man who has played Ragnar for the last 21 years, and was apparently looking for quite a raise. How much does he want? Well, last season he earned about $1,500 a game, which sounds reasonable. Reportedly, Juranich has asked for $20,000 per game for the next 10 years, which would bring his total compensation to roughly $2 million over the course of the contract. At this point, neither side is budging, and Ragnar remains home, wearing his full Viking outfit and posting Facebook messages to his fans.
Nice. Wants $20,000 a game.
Yes.
For 3 hours of work.
Yep.
That's roughly $6,600 per hour. A little less if you think he's got to be there an hour and a half per game time.
You're starting to think about your deal
you
with the Giants now, aren't
That's
you?
That's right, because I got a game coming up this Thursday.
Sorry, two games in 4 days, right?
That's right.
You might have some leg to stand on there, Gordon.
That's right. 14 minutes now in front of the hour. Glad you're with us. Time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by BASF. Through science and sustainable innovation, BASF enables its customers to meet the current and future needs of society. BASF, we create chemistry. Pope Francis could put a wrinkle in your plans to get a new iPhone. Millions of Apple fans, as you know, are counting down the days until a sparkly new iPhone arrives at their front door Friday. But early buyers in New York and Philadelphia might have to wait longer. The Wall Street Journal says the nation's two biggest delivery companies are warning that Pope Francis's visit to the U.S. this week could temporarily disrupt shipments in the Washington, New York, and Philadelphia areas. UPS said in a blog post that no pickups or deliveries will be available in some areas on the days of the expected service disruptions. FedEx, meanwhile, said in a prepared statement yesterday that customers, quote, may experience service delays and disruptions because of local restrictions. 8 minutes now before the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
President Pope Francis has encouraged Cubans to overcome ideological preconceptions and be willing to change. Next up, the U.S. Francis will arrive in Washington this afternoon, where White House spokesman Josh Earnest says everything's in place.
What we've seen in Cuba is not at all surprising, and I think it's what we expect to see here in the United States, which is that the Pope will be very warmly received when he arrives in this country.
The Pope's visit to the nation's capital will include an address to Congress and a visit to the White House. Meanwhile, Chinese President Xi arrives in Seattle today, almost a year after he and President Obama announced their nations would cooperate to fight climate change. The three-day visit begins with talks between a handful of U.S. governors and six of their Chinese counterparts. More than 20% of female undergrads at an array of prominent universities say they were victims of sexual assault and misconduct this year, echoing findings elsewhere, according to one of the largest studies ever of college sexual violence. The survey drew responses from 150,000 students at 27 schools, including most of the Ivy League. Volkswagen's emissions crisis is deepening, as the company says as many as 11 million vehicles worldwide could be affected by software used to cheat emissions tests. The automaker also announced plans to take a $7.3 billion provision that will force it to downgrade its earnings outlook. And while the days are getting shorter and the calendar shows that fall arrives tomorrow, there are significant participants in the fall scene that haven't yet received the message. Trees. Across New England, most of the trees remain a deep green thanks to unusually warm temperatures that have delayed the start of the fall foliage season. Leaf peeping is big business across New England, with inns and restaurants banking on millions of visitors arriving from mid-September through mid-October to catch a glance of the reds, oranges, and yellows that emerge at this time of year, but so far, no go.
How about that? We're sort of anticipating that at Army football up at West Point.
Oh, it's beautiful up there.
Some of those October games really begin to draw the locals out.
And it's also been so dry that I think a lot of them are just going to be brown and drop off.
Yep.
The trees around here are not going to be pretty this
year.
Yes,
that's a great point. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You always want to look great, but don't have the time or the patience to go shopping. With Trunk Club, you never have to set foot in the mall again. Trunk Club takes the hassle out of shopping by shipping you a trunk of clothes that fit perfectly and make you look like $1 million with all the new fall styles. At trunkclub.com/morning, all you have to do is answer simple questions about your style, preferences, and size, and then you are assigned an expert stylist. They curate clothes from the best premium brands, and you approve what you like. Just like that, a trunk arrives on your doorstep filled with hand-picked clothes that are perfect for you. Try them on, keep what you like, and easily return what you don't in their prepaid trunk. This is not a subscription service. You only pay for the clothes you keep. No hidden charges, just great clothes. And right now, their entire styling service is free. Even the shipping. You only pay for the clothes you keep. To take advantage, go to trunkclub.com/morning. One more time, that's trunkclub.com/morning for a trunk filled with clothes you'll love wearing. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a debate. Is a card game a sport? There's little doubt that bridge is a mentally challenging game, right? But does that make it a sport? A British judge is set to rule on the question this week, a decision that English bridge aficionados hope will finally accord them the same respect given to snooker and darts, both which are recognized as sports in the UK. The Wall Street Journal says arguments by supporters are falling on deaf ears with Sport England, the state body that allocates funding to non-professional sports associations and that is the defendant in the legal claim. To qualify as a sport under its rules, it says an activity must have some kind of physical element. The legal arguments turn on Sports England's claim that its remit is limited to physical activity, but the Bridge Union claims that definition of sport is too narrow. And did you know this, by the way? The International Olympic Committee has long recognized the card game as a sport, even if it hasn't yet admitted it to the Olympic Games. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. You're results-driven and you're ambitious. You've established yourself professionally and now you're looking for more. Take the next step in your entrepreneurial journey with Edible Arrangements, the brand that revolutionized gifting with handcrafted fruit arrangements and gourmet chocolate-covered fruit, now also offers delicious everyday treats like smoothies, fruit salads, and parfaits. As an Edible Arrangements franchisee, you get access to an established brand with 16 years of growth, over 80% brand recognition, and 1,200 locations worldwide. You'll benefit from know-how, support, and millions of visitors to the Edible Arrangements e-commerce platform. Discover why Entrepreneur Magazine named Edible Arrangements a top franchise and among their best of the best for 2015. Start your journey to sweet success as an Edible Arrangements franchise owner. Call 1-888-727-4258 or go to edible.com. That's 1-888-727-4258 or edible.com.